Turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Starting in verse 28, let's hear the Word of God. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Heavenly Father, I ask once more that your Holy Spirit will illuminate the Scripture to us as we have this time to look into your Word. We ask that our hearts, our minds be open. We thank you for it. Amen. Every once in a while, you get the urge to just turn things off. We live in a world that is bombarded daily with noise. Noise from everywhere. You know? Sometimes that noise is self-inflicted. Because sometimes the noise that invades our minds comes from, you know, television that we have turned on, radio that's turned on, or some streaming service, or all the things that are available out there. It's noise nonetheless, and it's out there, even if it is self-inflicted. Just a matter of being out in the world. If you're out in the stores, if you're out wherever you are, you can't escape it. There has to be something going on. You know, in our little store, you know, during the holidays, we've got Christmas music playing, right? And I told you this year, I just was not into rocking around the Christmas tree this year. Ours was very mellow. You know, it was holiday music, they had Christmas music, but you know, we had it going on. But it's almost a necessity. If you're going into a retail place, there's got to be something going on. If you're in the car, it's almost impossible to not be having some thing. You know, it's like we can't, we're not capable of going anywhere without banging in our ears, you know, kind of a thing. Things, though, excuse me, those are things that, to some degree anyway, I gotta tell you, to some degree we can control. We can turn a switch and turn things off. We can, if we have to, roll our windows up so we're not outside. Excuse me. We can control those things to some degree. Some of the noise that we encounter is generated within us. Sometimes, have you ever done that? Have you ever gone to bed, laid down, and really wanted to get a good night's sleep, and all this racket is going on in your head? This is not noise heard with a physical ear. This is not noise heard by others that are around. It's noise that's going on inside of you. And what causes it? You know, concerns. We have concerns for people that we love and that sort of thing. Sometimes that noise is instigated because we've fallen short in some way during the day. You know, we sinned in some way. We go to God in confession. We make our confessions known to him. The scriptures tell us plainly that he forgives us when we confess those sins. The scriptures tell us that as far as our sins are concerned, God moves them far away, as far as the east is from the west. And he remembers our sins against us no more. However, he doesn't give us that same privilege. Because sometimes, even though we know we've been forgiven and those things, the evil one likes to throw stuff back up in your face. Likes to throw things up into your mind. And so this noise continues, and we have to deal with those sorts of things. What are we to do about this stuff? What are we supposed to do? You know, a few years back, somebody came up with some kind of a happy slogan. You know, they're I'm sure, making some kind of a happy little dollar, you know, with their thing. They said, keep calm and fill in the blank. You seen the t-shirts? My wife has one. It says, keep calm and vote Yoder. You know, can't get enough Amish in there. I saw an advertisement for somebody who wanted to sell me a t-shirt that said, keep calm and call Kohler. I said, well, I don't know that that's necessarily a great idea, but, you know, whatever. Keep calm and do this, keep calm and do that, whatever kind of a thing. Yeah, it's clever, a little thing, and I'm sure they made a couple of bucks off of it, but it's not truly remedial. It's not going to fix anything. Somebody tells you to keep calm, you're certainly not going to keep calm. It's the nature of the beast. Somebody tells you, don't do something, what do you want to do? Just exactly what you were told. Yeah, I don't want to ramble too much, but here's a point. I go regularly for these eye exams, and they sit you down in front of different machines. And you look into the machine, and they'll tell you, don't blink. What is the one thing that you want to do more than anything at that moment is you want to blink? She'll say, do you see the little green star? Follow the star. Stare at it. Do not blink. Don't blink. Oh, man, we got to do this again. It's our nature to do exactly the opposite of what we're told. Fortunately, as regards our spiritual life, our faith is in Christ. And in the 28th chapter of Matthew, Jesus tells us that all authority is given to him. Just in heaven, but on earth. All authority, all power is his. Jesus is the most powerful being, period. Nothing, there is no one more powerful than him. Jesus Christ defeated death. No human can make that claim. What Jesus says goes. He's God. And he's given us what instruction in his word. He tells us that the Father has given to him all things. He's our mediator to the Father. He knows the Father knows him. It's a great relationship to him. And it's comforting to know that we go to Christ, the Father hears what it is that we want to say. In fact, Jesus probably interprets what it is we want to say even better. So that goes on. He knows the very depths of our inner selves. He knows us. It's cliche, but it's true. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We think we know ourselves. He knows us better. We may, in our daily lives, be able to hide the things that we do. When we sin, we brush that off. We can hide that. We don't need to declare share that sort of thing to everybody, we can't hide that from Christ. Truth of the matter is, like David, if you do something bad enough, you might even be able to suppress that thinking for a long time. I mean, it doesn't get worse than what David did. And yet David, who loved God, was able to push that bit of conscience back. He was able to put that down until a year later when Nathan came to visit. We need to, as part of our daily prayers, go along with what the psalmist tells us in the 139th Psalm and say, "Search me. See if there's any wicked way in me." Now that kind of, if we take that just on its surface, for face value, that's kind of bleak. You know, I say, okay, we're living like that. We're trying to be good Christian people. We do struggle. We do have our times of falling, whatever. Jesus knows it. We can hide. We can try and hide it, but Jesus knows us. And it's like, you know, we sometimes get a little frustrated. But even knowing us as well as he does, Jesus beckons us. He says to us, "Come to me." He doesn't say, "Look, you messed up. Get out of my life." He doesn't say, "Hey, you know, here I thought you were such a good person, but now I really haven't had a day where you really messed up. Just, I don't want to talk to you today. I don't want to be bothered by you today. I only want to be in the presence of the holy ones." Well, if that's the case, man, we're going to be awful lonely. But Jesus knows that we're not that way. And he says to us, he says, "Come unto me." Again, he's our mediator. If we are to know God, we know God through him. All things are given to him. And if we are to know peace, it is through him. Come. What is it? What does that mean? What's it mean to come to him? It means to believe him. To believe he is who he says he is. To believe that he does what he says he does. We place in Christ all of our confidence. We place in Christ all of our trust. And then we come to this conclusion, this understanding, that Jesus is not simply willing that we come to him. He is desirous that we come to him. Jesus wants us to come to him. Jesus knows what we are, and he wants us to come to him. He is ready to meet with his people. He is ready to forgive sins. He is ready to calm perplexed minds. He wants to do that for you. Who is it that's to come? Who is it that he's calling to? He says, "All who labor and are heavy laden." On any given day, that could be any one of us. What is it that gets you down? What is it? What is the burden that you carry? Is it because a loved one is not in the fold? Is it because someone that you have prayed for years just doesn't seem to be hearing the gospel? Are you down because, you know, you're just not feeling well? You're physically back in some way. All labor, this is the beckoning call. Come to me, all who labor and are laden. It's not unusual for people to wear down. We're built that way, thanks to Adam. And never forget that. It's Adam's fault. When you see Adam, you can feel free to smack him because he's the one. He chose to break the law. That's put us into the situation that we're in today. However, the grace of God through Jesus Christ keeps us so we don't have to, you know, just fumble over or whatever kind of thing. We get down. We get burdened, but that should not be our constant condition. It shouldn't be our constant condition. Remember in James, he says, count it all when you experience the different trials. It's hard to succumb finding the situation to be joyful. Now, maybe, you know, you're not jumping up and down and singing hallelujah because somebody just rolled over, you know, their car over your foot. But, you know, our joy is in Christ. So count it all joy. So constant condition is not one of being. You're a new creature. Dealing constantly, entirely, all the time. With that, with the other aspect of our life. Jesus is also talking to people who are living in a time that are oppressed by the laws of the day. The traditions that they couldn't seem to live up to. These people are taken back because, you know, there are some high mucky mucks in the community that just don't think you're a good Christian. So they were oppressing those people. It's true that the legalism is not something new. Legalism started in the Garden of Eden. You know, the scriptures tell us that when Satan approached Eve, he said, has God said that you can't eat of that tree? And Eve said, that's correct. We can't eat of that tree, neither can we touch it. Now, if God said that, he didn't put it in his word. This seems to be an addition on Eve's part. Doesn't matter. She gave in. And, you know, take it easy on her. I blame Adam, because Adam was the guy who was supposed to be taking care of business. But, you know, that's the way that went. We found when my father came to know the Lord, he, you know, began his life in a very legalistic church, in the Baptist church that we were in. Don't get me completely wrong. There was some good doctrine that was learned in there. There was a lot of doctrine that was not good that was also learned, but there was some good doctrine that was put in there. It was one of those, you know, if you're going to be a Christian, You can't smoke, drink, chew, swear, go to the movies. Dance and go to the movies. You can't dance and go to the movies. You know, that's, if the Lord comes back and sees you walking out of a movie theater, you ain't going. It totally eliminates the grace of God. It totally eliminates the justification by faith in Christ. It's an application of what's called works righteousness. And while there are good works that we do, we are not saved by our works. We're not. The only work that we're saved by is the work of Christ. And it's His work entirely that saves us. Men cannot require something of us. Number one, and we can't give. And that Christ doesn't require. And yet, there are so many churches out there that do that very thing. It wasn't just the Baptist church that we were in. There's a group out there that I don't think they go anymore, but they used to be known as holiness churches. And they were Anabaptist. They were, just a part. There was some Puritanism in them, but not, it was kind of a mishmash. But, the ladies did have to wear certain attire, and still do. And you see that in the Amish community, you'll see that in a Mennonite community. You'll see, they're part of their salvation, part of their holiness is, how we present ourselves. Their hearts are black, not I'm broad brushing. Their hearts can be black as coal with sin, but they have the right appearance. So it makes them all right with the church, kind of a thing. We can get caught up in too much of that legalism, and that's part of the thing that the people that Jesus is talking to, that's part of the thing that they were involved in. They were, you make sure you obey this rule, obey that rule, do this thing, do that thing, and Jesus is saying, hey, that kind of stuff, it's going to wear you down. You're going to want to be faithful, but those kind of things are going to bring you down. And sometimes we may even find ourselves in a situation where we're crying out to God. Saying, Lord, I can't bear these burdens. I just can't. Everything that they're trying to heap on me, I just can't bear it. My strength is gone. I need yours. I need your strength. Thankfully, we serve a benevolent Christ. Thankfully, we can go to Him with our prayers. He made a promise. He said, come to me. Trust in me. Believe in me. And you who are burdened under the guilt of sin. You who are pressed down by a law that you can't comply with. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. Sounds pretty good. Come to me, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, go to the church, and the church will give you rest. He didn't say, go to Uncle Louie, and Uncle Louie will give you rest. Jesus doesn't point us any direction except to Himself. We look to our loving Savior. We look to the risen Christ. If we need anything at all in this life, it's more of Him. Come to me and I might. Come to me and there's a good possibility. Come to me and I will give you rest. That's a definitive statement. There's no hesitation at all. I will give you rest. It's a refreshment. Who doesn't need that? Who doesn't need that? We come to Christ and we have a relief from uncertainty in this world. There's certainly enough things going on that if you pay attention to them and spend enough time, we'll have you going nuts. Turn off the news. Just turn it off. Quit listening to the lies that they tell you every night. Come to Christ and get rest. Come to Christ and get relief from the uncertainty, from the fear, from the anxiety of the day, from the despair that too much dwelling on the negative will cause. The thing is, it's not only those things. It's not only those things that Jesus is giving us rest from. The rest that comes from God is a rest that is productive. We think resting, we think we're kicking back and just relaxing and everything. From God is rest. It's a time when the fruit of the Holy Spirit will manifest itself in your life. When all of a sudden you're resting in Christ and you're finding yourself a little more loving, a little more at peace, a little more self-control, a little more patient. These things are coming out in the rest of God. When we rest in God, we find more peace. When we're at rest in God, when we're receiving the rest of Christ, we have an assurance of our salvation. Christian people have been indoctrinated by some over the years, which goes back to the legalism thing, that you can lose your salvation. And if you have a bad day, you better go to God and ask to get saved again because you're not getting, you know, that's not how it works. When Jesus saves you, there's no more saving to be done. Jesus doesn't lose anything. You are saved, you are saved. You mess up, you repent, you confess. But you are not lost. That's part of the rest that you find in Jesus. Come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Possibly, quite possibly, we ought to talk sometimes. In those moments when we are just a little setback, take advantage of those times to pursue Jesus even more. One of the things I started this week, which is going to get renewed this coming week with the kids, was I started talking to them about purpose and doing things deliberately, having patience for you know that you know while you're doing those things, you're not going to have a immediate response. Those are some of the things I said. I started last week, and I lost my voice on Wednesday. I don't know what's happened to me lately, but that's two or three times that I've gotten laryngitis over the last 6 months, and it's just, I'm shot. I can't, you know, if I can't talk, I'm no good, you know. No, nobody wants to just look at you, you know. Well, nobody just wants to look at me. You know? We all want to look at Sandy because she's looking good and like that. But we take those down times, we take those moments, and we pursue Christ even more. We say, you know, all right, you catch yourself, and you have to do it deliberately. You have to do it because your nature is not to catch yourself when you're down. Your nature is to just focus on that and feed that fire. You need to take that moment and say, Lord, I am down. I'm not where I want to be. I need more of you, and I'm coming after it. You know, just help me out. Allow me, enable me to take more of your yoke upon myself, to carry your burden, because your promise to me is that it's light. We learn of him more. Love him more. And when we ask, when we go to him asking, by his grace, he loves to give that. This is not something you have to beg for. Christ loves to give you more of him. I think that's good news. Let's pray.